that you would join with us in our call to worship. Blessed be the name. You'll see the words on the screen. Together. And now allow us to worship you in the fullness of this hour. Let us be moved by your Holy Spirit. Let us find your presence in our lives. May God's grace that has called us to worship fulfill us in this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we remain standing, page 57, Oh for a Thousand Tons to Sing, or you will find the words on the screen. Church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit as the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself in the service of love as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
Amen.
As it was in the beginning, is
Let us pray together. We have this week, O Lord, watched as all the horrific things have happened across our world. We have seen, in many ways, more than we wanted to see, the terrible acts that happened in Jerusalem, in Israel. We've watched as they have told us how many people have died and who has died and how they have died. We have seen declarations of war. We have seen those before, and sadly we will see them again. We have seen the declarations of war come upon that land that at one time was called the Promised Land and still is. In the midst of that, we've also watched as the war in the Ukraine has happened and continues to happen. And we see across our world places that are being defined as where next wars will begin. And yet we, the church, even in the midst of our struggles and our pain and our anxieties, we as the church still claim peace on earth, as was the promise when the babe was born. And yet, we as the world have not claimed that peace as of yet, because we are too driven for power and to simply be in charge. We watch as these things unfold and we think about all the people, all the ones who are hurt, all the ones who have died, and all the ones that will be in harm's way. And we pray, we continue to pray, O Lord, that you will intervene, whatever that means, and do so in a way that honors and glorifies you and you only. And yet the same could be said for our streets in our own dear country. Will people fight against people? Will drugs seem to overwhelm? And where at times there feels like there is no hope. We watch as cities die and others rise. We watch churches that once were full not be so anymore. And we wonder where this is going. And yet if we have faith, we know that it's going to that time when you come back. And there will be those who remain faithful waiting on you that you will come and will call home, however that happens. Even though we think we may know, sometimes kings come in mangers instead of in kingly homes. So we always know that we do not fully understand you. So we pray for peace within our city, within Rockwood, and within our state and our counties. And we pray that you will intervene even there as you would do. And then individually, we all have our own joys, our own concerns, our own issues, and our own places that we strive to work and to be in, that we strive to care for our own dear people within our congregation and within our own families. And we lift up prayers for each of them that healing will take place and that comfort will be found and rest will be found in both mind, body, and soul. So we open ourselves to all these things and we give you the glory for the good and we ask for your intervention for the bad. Now walk with us this day and let us honor you with our worship. And we offer all these prayers and the prayers of those within this congregation to you, O Lord, asking you to allow us to pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you are able, if you would stand and sing with us, page 452, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. You will also find it on the screen, 452. Let's pray together. And then may the gift of the one who gave us eternal life be in our soul, changing us to be the persons you are calling us to be. Let our gifts be gifts of love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'll ask Mary Lynn if she would read the scripture. She can come over here if she wants to and do it on my Bible. My contact turned. I couldn't read if my life depended on it. I don't know what happened. I can't see 2 feet in front of my face. And so this will really be from memory. You got it? That weighs more than you do, sweetheart.
There we go. Hebrews chapter 11.
Stand for the reading of God's holy word.
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray together. Lord, we ask that you would be with us, that you would walk with us this day, that you would care for us and give us your grace and your peace. May your love overwhelm us, and may we walk the path that you have called us to. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So when I have an eye infection, I popped it out while you were praying and put it back in. That's not good. But I can see now. There we go. If I think I can. All right, my friends, sorry about that, but sometimes contacts do what contacts do, and so that's where we are. We come today to this reading and to this sermon with a sermon title that says, Going in Circles with a Purpose. One of the things that I have problems with, and I know y'all don't because y'all are almost near perfect people, but one of the things I have problem with is that I'm not a very patient person. I'm one of those dear people who pray for patience and I want it now. And in fact, I wanted it yesterday, but it's not how it always turns out. So we know that God's grace is trying to give us that, but we're trying to get it sooner than we want it. Well, part of the problem with this, and part of the conversation that's involved here, is that when we have to do things, and it seems like we're going in circles. You ever been there? You go in circles. You do it, and you do it, and you do it. Sometimes you pray for it, you pray for it, you pray for it. Sometimes you doubt, and doubt, and you doubt. Sometimes you hope somebody's going to get better, and you try to help them get there. You continue to go in a circle with somebody, and sometimes we miss the opportunity to let somebody go and let somebody else have them because we just go in circles. One of the greatest issues in our world in going in circles is that we as people become depressed, we become doubtful, we become people who doubt God, doubt ourselves, doubt the church. We doubt our world. We've given up on peace that was promised at the birth, but we have to actually listen to God to get that peace. We have lost the ability to find a peacefulness inside of us because we have lost the ability to be patient. Being patient changes us, and going in circles causes probably that issue, because being patient means we want something now, and going in circles takes time. Hence day one of Jericho. Army's told to go out, form, march around the city, and they get up and they put on their battle gear. They have their swords, they have their spear. Some of them have their bows and arrows. They have everything in hand. They gather, ready for battle. The priests are there. The Ark of the Covenant's there. Everything that's supposed to be there for the war happens. And they circle the city one time. And then the priest tells them to go back to their tents and have a good night. Next day they get up and they are told to get all their stuff on, be ready for battle. They come out, they gather together, the Ark of the Covenant's there, the priests are there, the leaders of the army are there, they're all prepared to fight. The city is there with its walls, and they are told to circle the city. They circle the city, they come back, they're ready to go to war, and they are told to go back to their tents and have a good night. How many times have we planned for things in our church and hoped that they would bring more people here and they would cause us to change and be spiritually different, and we come in and we prepare ourselves and we have everything ready and we know it's going to cause joy and happiness, or it's going to cause spiritual change, and we get there and we have these things ready to go and we pray and we circle the church and we get everything ready to go and we come in and nothing happens and we're told to go home and have a good night. And hence the third day comes. And the soldiers are gathered and they cut out there and they're in front with the priest and they have the Ark of the Covenant and they have the standard bearers and they have the leaders and they have everybody in place and they're told to circle the city and they march around the city quietly and because they can't shout or anything, they march around the city, they come back and they're at the starting place and they're told to put their stuff down and go and have a good night. How many times have you worked with your family and prayed for them and loved them and cooked for them to come for a big Thanksgiving or Christmas or wanted them present with you and you wanted the church to affect them and to change them and make it different and they don't show up and you end up having Thanksgiving with you and two people and food for 30 and everything unfolds and you sit there and you have that meal and you wash up and you're told to go and have a good night. Y'all get this, right? So the fourth day comes. And the soldiers gather and they're ready and they've got everything there and they're told to get up in the morning and move forward. And they get out there and here's the priest and the standard bearers and everybody's ready and they march around the city. And I don't know if you know this or not. Maybe you're not one of these people, but at this point, some of the soldiers are going, did we just come here to march around this daggum city and that's all we got? And they march around the city and they get around it and they come back and they're told what a great march they had and go into their tents and have a, y'all can say it with me, good night. Patience. Not again. Have you ever said, oh, not again? You know, we have cupcakes now once a month, and now we're going to have cookies this time, and so we don't have cupcakes again, although I could eat cupcakes every time, frankly, but, you know, we have all those things. We even changed the flavors of them, and y'all say, well, that's not a big deal. Yes, it is. You're not the one cooking them, and we partake of them. We have these things, and we think it's going to make us happier, and it should. We ought to celebrate. I mean, October, birthdays and anniversaries. I'm going to celebrate next month again. I just celebrated my birthday last month, and next month I get to celebrate my anniversary with Mary Lynn. You know, we're celebrating a great anniversary, the fact that she's been able to stay married to me for 39 years, amen. I mean, that's, you know, it's not an achievement on my part, but think of her. And they come out for the fifth day. And they're told to get all their stuff on. And they come out with their swords and their spears and their bows and their armament. And they carry that 30 pounds or so of armament around. And they lug it around the city one more time. And by the way, Jericho wasn't exactly 2x2. It was a big place. And so they go around the city one more time, the walls. And they get back and they're told, thank you. Have a good night. Every now and then, don't you wish not again would not happen again? Or even better, the seven last words of the church. We've never done it that way before. We've never said that, amen? And they get up the sixth day. And they're told to get their stuff together. Now you may say, well, they're good, faithful soldiers. They're doing what they're told. Yeah, but if you ever been around good, faithful soldiers, they have been known to complain and say some things about what's going on. It's just like good, faithful church members, and heaven help us all, good, faithful pastors who get sent to places they didn't want to go and get told they'd have to minister there, and some superintendent. won't mention his name, but he stands in front of you, looks at him and says, when they say, you know, I deserve better than that. And you look at him and say, if God can't trust you with a little, how can he trust you with much? If God can't trust you to march around the city a sixth time, how can he trust you to take over the city and do what you've been told? So they're told to march with all their stuff, and they march around the city a sixth time. And they get home, and they get to the place that they're going to be, and they get back to the friend, get the place they're going to be, and they're told to go home and have a good night. See, y'all learning. Flyer's going with it, whether y'all or the rest of y'all or not. You should be there with me. Can you hear it in the tents? What do you mean we got to do it again? What do you mean we got to go a seventh time? What is wrong with the leaders and the priests of this nation? Bad enough that Moses took us out in the desert to die. He finally got us over here. Now they got us marching around places like that's going to help. My feet hurt. I got a headache. None of us preacher types have ever said anything like that or complained anyway like that. And I know none of y'all did, because those of y'all have to listen to us endure enough without having to complain. And they get up the next morning, and the leader says to them, I got a treat for y'all today. This is exciting. I know you're ready. No, you can't wait. We're going to march around seven times today. And at the end, you're going to yell right after the trumpet blows. And the trumpet and the yelling's going to bring the walls down. Now, you think all those soldiers are just happy about that, right? We get to march around the city walls how many times? In one day? Seven times? I just marched around this place for the last 6 days, and what good did that do? This is where a good pastor ought to say, so I'm going to pretend I am one, ought to say, 1,000 years with the Lord is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. While you're waiting on God to answer your prayers, while you're wanting God to do it the way you want it done, while we're asking God to be part of what we want to be, even though we don't actually want to be it because we're not sure what it is going to be, we get confused and we get all upset with God because God's not acting right, meaning he didn't act the way we wanted him to. But we start marching. And they march around once. And they march around twice. You mean we're doing it the same way again? And they march around the third time. Well, you know, the church looks the same, even though we cleaned it. What happened there? We march around the fourth time. You know, the cookies and cupcakes were good, but nobody smiled much. We march around the fifth time. Are y'all hearing me? What I'm trying to say this morning? March around the fifth time. Then we march the sixth. Surely somebody at the end of six said, don't you think six will do it? I came to fight, not march. And then they marched around the seventh time and they stopped. And the trumpet blew. You know, the interesting thing about this, if you read the scriptures in chapter 6 of Joshua, it took both the trumpet and the yelling to make the wall come down. These folk have just marched around that place 6 days and seven times on one day, and they're asked to yell and be excited. Well, what would happen if I asked for y'all to yell and be excited? We talked about that out back a minute, didn't we? Somebody said maybe I'd have a hellfire and brimstone sermon to wake you up. I don't know if this reaches that, but I'm working on it. Think of the process of this. They get there, the trumpet blows, and what do? There's two kinds of yell, by the way. There's the thank God it's over yell, which is not very enthusiastic. And then there's the I believe in what they said yell that's really enthusiastic. And so they believe in the yell, and they yell after the trumpet is blew, and guess what happens to the wall? It falls down. Not one sword yet has been used. Now, they're going to invade the city, so it's another conversation. But I want us right here. Not one sword has been used. And as we're going to talk about later, not today, but later, the one who gave the information was a harlot. Not exactly who you want in the lineage of Jesus, amen? And that's the one going to be protected. Not one sword's been used, not one spear has been used, not one bow and arrow has been shot. And guess what? The city is laid bare for them to invade and take over a land that they was promised that wasn't there, that they did not build, and they're going to have the plunder and all the things from it because they marched around it 7 days in a row and seven times on the last day. So sometimes you just got to give a loud yell. I have to say, one of our dear sweet ladies at Pleasant Hill, if she sees this, she didn't give me permission, but I'm going with it anyway. She looked at me and said, sometimes I just want to go out and give a loud yell. Don't y'all? If you wouldn't be arrested, wouldn't you want to just go out one time and scream to the top of the lungs just to make yourself feel better? What if you knew if you gave a loud yell, it would make the world better and it would conquer your demons and it would conquer those things that overcome you and it would fulfill your spirit with the power of the Holy Spirit in you? Sometimes you just need to give a loud yell and do it at the appropriate time. And you'll know when, because God will tell you. And watch the demons and the walls that you can't conquer fall down. Because after all, it's not you that conquers them anyway. It's God that does the conquering. So sometimes you just got to give a loud yell. You may just yell within your soul. But I think on occasion it wouldn't be bad to step out on the back porch. Or maybe, heaven forbid, maybe do it in church. I know we're Methodist. There's a set of books written by Laura Ingalls Wilder. First one is Little House on the Prairie, Prairie Books. And in one of those books, her and Pa and Ma riding home from their church. And there's a church over that they're going to pass over to the side of them, but they're passing, and Laura asked Pa, who are those people? He said, they're Methodists. They yell a lot. We Baptists go home quietly. When did that change? So I share with you this morning that sometimes God's ways are not yours. Sometimes God's timing's not ours. Sometimes God's thoughts aren't ours. And I believe sometimes, as with his apostles, I believe, and us, that God is yelling at the top of his voice. And we, dear Christians, are going, did y'all hear something? Because sometimes God wants our walls to fall down so that he can get through to us. the message of Jesus for the world. Sometimes the walls are not those of a city that opposes us and God. Sometimes the walls of are the dear saints who aren't paying attention. So I had a feeling it's just like what Jesus said when he was entering the city and the leaders told him to tell his people to quit shouting hallelujah because it was disrupting things. And he looked at them and said, if they don't shout it, the very rocks will cry out. So I'm waiting on a good old Rock of Ages scream. Because if we don't do it, the rocks will. Sometimes donkeys have to speak because we can't see the angels in front of us. Sometimes rocks have to cry out. So I'm waiting on a good old Rockwood Rocky cry. Because sometimes that's what we need. By the way, keep marching. God will let you know when it's time to yell so the walls will fall. Let's pray together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the power of the Holy Spirit, and may our deaf ears listen, and may our souls pay attention. He who has eyes to see and ears to hear, let them hear. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Mary Lynn, I'm going to let you announce the song.
Page number 354, and it's on the screen, I Surrender All.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.
and Savior Jesus Christ, be patient, be vigilant, walk around the walls, go home and rest, and walk again. But I promise you one thing. If you listen to God, the walls will fall, and you will have the strength and the power to go in God's peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we offer all that we have said and done. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.